Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 6, Faith and Acceptance.
Steps to Christ. Chapter 2, The Sinner's Need of Christ. Man was originally endowed with noble powers and a well-balanced mind. He was perfect in his being and in harmony with God. His thoughts were pure, his aims holy. But through disobedience his powers were perverted, and selfishness took the place of love. His nature became so weakened through transgression that it was impossible for him in his own strength to resist the power of evil. He was made captive by Satan, and would have remained so forever had not God specially interposed. It was the tempter's purpose to thwart the divine plan in man's creation and fill the earth with woe and desolation. And he would point to all this evil as the result of God's work in creating man. In his sinless state, man held joyful communion with him in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. But after his sin, he could no longer find joy in holiness, and he sought to hide from the presence of God. Such is still the condition of the unrenewed heart. It is not in harmony with God and finds no joy in communion with him. The sinner could not be happy in God's presence. He would shrink from the companionship of holy beings. Could he be permitted to enter heaven, it would have no joy for him. The spirit of unselfish love that reigns there, every heart responding to the heart of infinite love, would touch no answering chord in his soul. His thoughts, his interests, his motives would be alien to those that actuate the sinless dwellers there. He would be a discordant note in the melody of heaven. Heaven would be to him a place of torture. He would long to be hidden from him who is its light and the center of its joy. It is no arbitrary decree on the part of God that excludes the wicked from heaven. They are shut out by their own unfitness for its companionship. The glory of God would be to them a consuming fire. They would welcome destruction, that they might be hidden from the face of him who died to redeem them. It is impossible for us, of ourselves, to escape from the pit of sin in which we are sunken. Our hearts are evil, and we cannot change them. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Job 14, 4, Romans 8, 7. Education, culture, the exercise of the will, human effort, all have their proper sphere, but here they are powerless. They may produce an outward correctness of behavior, but they cannot change the heart. They cannot purify the springs of life. There must be a power working from within, a new life from above, before men can be changed from sin to holiness. That power is Christ. His grace alone can quicken the lifeless faculties of the soul and attract it to God, to holiness. The Savior said, "Except a man be born from above, unless he shall receive a new heart, new desires, purposes, and motives, leading to a new life, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3:3. The idea that it is necessary only to develop the good that exists in man by nature is a fatal deception. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again," 1 Corinthians 2:14, John 3:7. Of Christ it is written, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men," the only name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. John chapter 1, verse 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It is not enough to perceive the loving kindness of God, to see the benevolence, the fatherly tenderness of his character. It is not enough to discern the wisdom and justice of his law, to see that it is founded upon the eternal principle of love. Paul the Apostle saw all this when he exclaimed, "I consent unto the law that it is good. The law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." But he added, in the bitterness of his soul, anguish and despair, "I am carnal, sold under sin." Romans 7, verse 16, verse 12, and verse 14. He longed for the purity, the righteousness, to which in himself he was powerless to attain, and cried out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Romans 7:24. Such is the cry that has gone up from the burdened hearts in all lands and in all ages. To all there is but one answer: "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1:29. Many are the figures by which the Spirit of God has sought to illustrate this truth, and make it plain to souls that long to be freed from the burden of guilt. When, after his sin in deceiving Esau, Jacob fled from his father's home, he was weighed down with a sense of guilt, lonely and outcast as he was, separated from all that had made life dear. The one thought that above all others pressed upon his soul was the fear that his sin had cut him off from God, that he was forsaken of heaven. In sadness, he lay down to rest on the bare earth, around him only the lonely hills, and above the heavens bright with stars. As he slept, a strange light broke upon his vision, and lo, from the plain on which he lay, vast shadowy stairs seemed to lead upward to the very gates of heaven, and upon them angels of God were passing up and down, while from the glory above the divine voice was heard in a message of comfort and hope. Thus was made known to Jacob that which met the need and longing of his soul, a Savior. With joy and gratitude he saw revealed a way by which he, a sinner, could be restored to communion with God. The mystic ladder of...
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from New Orleans. And I just want to give God thanks once again for blessing us that we can get on this prayer line, Advent Light Ministry prayer line, to fellowship and to worship God once again. So let us begin with a word of prayer. And we want to ask the Lord to be with us tonight. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, we come to thank you once again. What a blessing week we have had to serve you on your Sabbath day. Lord, you gave us, we worship and give you praise, honor, and glory. Father, we thank you so much for the Sabbath that we enjoy having fellowship together, reading and studying your word. Now, Father, we come to the first day that our host on this prayer line. We ask him that your Holy Spirit fall afresh on us to help us to read, to study, and to get more understanding about your word. So, Father, we ask him that you bless us tonight. Keep us And Lord, touch the hearts of others to allow them to come to share and to be blessed of God. We thank for all this in the worthy name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I want to thank you for joining Happy Enlightened Ministry. I want to thank all the brothers and sisters from afar off, and that God is pleased that we can come and listen to his word. So let us just read the scriptures. We're going to read about, we're reading about the Passover and what God has given to us to commemorate the Passover meal by God's grace. We just think he's going to read what he give us. Not no lamb, because Christ was the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. And sisters and brothers, I'm so grateful, because you know what? If it had not been for Christ, take away my sins, sisters and brothers, Lord have mercy, where would we be, or what could be the outcome of that situation? So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I want to read from Desire of Ages. And I was going to read the scripture. And the scripture is from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And this was, I want to start at, it gives from 41 through, give me a second, 41 through 51. But I just want to read about what happened to Jesus, what happened to our Savior. So, and I'm going to start at verses, I'm going to start at verses 46. And it came to pass that after the 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors. Can you believe this, sisters? In the midst of doctors, 12 years old, both hearing them and asking them questions. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrow. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not that saying, which he, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Oh, Lord, I'm getting chills. Lord, I got chills. Sister Power, I got chills running down. I feel it in my head, all down my arms. Let me 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. And my sisters and my brothers, when I was reading that, I had this feel in my head, a chill or something, and it went down to my arms, and I'm like, Lord have mercy, just reading this word is powerful. So I would like to read just a little bit of Desire of Ages, and it's just going to be for about a minute or two. It says, the observance of the Passover began with the birth of Hebrew nation on the last night of their bondage in Egypt, where there appear no token of deliverance. God commanded them to prepare for the immediate release. He had warned Pharaoh of the final judgment on the Egyptians, and he directed the Hebrew to gather their families in their own dwelling. Having sprinkled the doorpost with the blood of the slain lamb, they were to eat the lamb, roasted with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And thus ye shall eat it, he said, with your loin girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I'm going to stop right there. And brothers and sisters, as I think about how children of Egypt had to eat this in haste, that was going to be their last meal, because they were about to go pass through these places and deserts and wherever they had to pass through. So that was going to be their last meal. And the fact that God was about to deliver them, and they didn't understand all, but praise God, God's word is still being preached to us about this deliverance. And also this Passover meal is the commemorative for us to take for our little communion today, and washing the feet and all those little things. I just can't wait to be able to do that one day with Christ. So by God's grace, I want to see this, Sister Powell. This is something that we all looking forward to see. So I'm just asking you to press one, and that you can share your testimony or your thoughts on what you want Christ to do for you, or whatever you have to share. Please press one. Amen. And we have, and if no one pressed one, oh, hold on. Okay, I am on, but I'm hoping everyone can hear me. Let me open the line, Sister Power. I'm hoping that you can hear me. Sister Powell, I'm hoping you can hear, because I want to make sure, by God's grace, I'm hearing a little static. Sister Powell, is that your phone? Can you hear? Well, brothers and sisters, I'm going to continue to read until I can see someone press one.
You're here.
Oh, okay. I can hear you now.
All right.
But sound like
good
a little
evening,
static.
Oh, okay. I don't know. The reception is bad. All right. Good evening, my dear beloved. I will just start out with a song. It's a blessing to offer when our heart lonely bends, and we gather to Jesus, our Savior and friend. If we come to him in faith, his protection to share, what a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed our offer, blessed our offer, what a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. It's the blessed our offer when the Savior draws near. With a tender compassion, is the children who hear. When he tells us we may cast at his feet every care, what a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. It's a bow of firm, blessed our offer, what a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Kind and loving righteous Father, we just want to thank you for this blessed hour of prayer. We want to thank you for your love and your mercy towards us on this land, in which you said we are two or three gathered together, doing the things concerning your will. You are in the midst. So we want to thank you, dear Father, to know that you are here with us. Thank you to allow Sister Leola, the host this evening, Lord, to be here to read your words and to share. And also, dear Father, as a representative of you, we ask you to keep her, also her family member, Brother Ray, her plan traveling this week. We ask you, dear Father, to go cut and clear every difficult on the road and allow her to be our pathway, Miss Will Mystery, that she reach her destination safely. We want to thank you. We want to thank you for the bunch of joy, our great-granddaughter, and how you have been guiding and protecting and keeping and allowing her to be growing, Lord. So we present her to you. We present, dear Father, our congregation. You know every one of us who join on this line. And this evening, I won't mention their name, but you know. We ask you to cover them under your blood. Father, we thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit. We thank you for your reading, Lord Jesus. So let us know that you have paid the price for us from all our sins. And now you can say to us, Lord, it's our time for us to be obedient to your will so that we will follow your command and also share with others. We just want to say thank you and praise you and give you honor. We give you glory. We thank you for your written word, your spoken word. We thank you for your presenter who presenting, Lord, the message this evening. We ask you to hide him on the foot of the cross and allow your words to come out smoothly so that your people will understand, and not just only understand, that our life will be changed. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, my dear beloved, this is Sister Powell. I'm not going to hold up the line because, you know, I just like to give everyone the opportunity that they can share. So have a blessed night. Everything is going on very good here, my dear beloved. I just came up from the site. We had a team work today, and they do a marvelous work, and we just want to give God thanks. Continue to pray for us, my dear beloved. God bless. Bye-bye.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Paul, for the prayer. And the blessed hour of prayer, truly, it is a blessed hour. So we, brothers and sisters, I just want to thank you once again because everybody wasn't, most people wasn't on that's on now. And we just want to welcome you once again to Advent Light Ministry. And we just want to show the love of God towards one another as we are sharing. And just share something and let someone else know how good God has been to you. Amen. So, and then also I would like to mention Brother Cherry will be bringing another message. He will be continuing another message tonight. So we will be opening his line about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock Central. So we have time now for our brothers and sisters, so I'm going to go right in and open lines. Amen. So thank you, Sister Power, and we're going to open this line also right now. So 985-870, your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda from home of Louisiana. Thank God for watching over us and waking us up today. I thank God for his love and his mercy. This is endure forever. He's lovable. And he's the awesome God. I want to read a scripture from Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto me. Wait, excuse me. but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Thank God for his words of wisdom that we use to go by daily and read and share with one another. And we just ask God for prayer. I need special prayers for myself, for my difficult illness. Prayers for family, prayers for our Advent Life family, prayers for Sister Paula and her ministry she got going on, prayers for Alex Nation, prayers for all our brothers and sisters traveling, going to and for, those are sick, those are bedridden and whatever going on in their life, their children, grandchildren, and everybody. We all need prayer, healing, and strength. So I thank God for all that. So we just ask that you'll continue praying for one for another. Just ask God to continue strengthening all of us. Amen. Brother John is caring for the children right now.
Amen, amen. Okay, thank you, Sister Brenda. And thank you, Sister Brenda, because, you know, I remember Sister Power said something just the other day that she heard from Alex. And, you know, I forgot to give God. Sometimes my memory is, it passes quick and I forget things. And I just want to say thank you for reminding me of Alex, because she had mentioned to from him and the prayer. We definitely need to keep Alex in prayer, because that young man did a work that a young 18 years old, he did a work that I have never seen a 18-year-old step out to do, to build someone a home. So that is nothing but the grace of God. So we got to give God thanks for that, for what we've seen and what he did for this homeless people. Well, may not be homeless, but what he did for someone. Amen. So thank you, Sister Brenda, for reminding us. Also, thank you for coming on and sharing. And remember, everyone is always praying for the family and also lifting one another up on this prayer line. So thank you all. So now we're going to go to the next caller by God's grace. And we're going to open this next line. And I wanted to tell Sister Power, I'm going to open her line again, because Sister Power, your line was static. I'm going to ask if you can kind of low in battery. And I'm going to open your phone up again so you can let Sister Jones, I believe, going to let her share. So, but we're going to open this next line. Amen. 423-635, your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from. 423, you can hear us. Probably away from her phone. Give her a chance to get to her phone. 423-635, your line is open. Okay, we may have to come back to Sister Carla. We're going to come back to you, Sister Carla. And brothers and sisters, we ask that you press 1. You can share now. Well, my brothers and sisters, just to say this, okay, let me open Sister Power line again. Okay, I'll open your line next. I saw your hand just go up. So, Sister Power,
okay,
your
Sister
line
Jones.
Is open again.
Yeah, Sister Jones.
Yes.
No, welcome.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Nobody now here. Go on, Sister Jones. The rest thing I've done.
You hearing Sister Leola?
Yes, yes, we can hear. I heard her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One stretch alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. For all is gained when Jesus comes to stay. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes,
amen.
Sister Leola. Yes, he's finished.
Amen. Okay, well, we're going to go, because I thought she had a testimony or scripture, or she want to give a praise or something.
Yes, she can do it. She can do that.
Okay. Give your testimony and praise.
Okay, I just want to say that I am so thankful to God, because I remember before I came down from Louisiana, I had a problem getting somewhere to stay. And Sister Powell, at the last moment, opened up and allowed me to come down, and I am still here with her. So I just want to give God all the glory, the honor, the praise, and the dominion, because he has been good to me, and he's still good to me, and I know he will continue to be good to me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Power, I tell you, you are the daughter that Jesus prayed, because you open your house. You feed the hungry. You take care of the one that have no shoes, no clothes on their back. Oh, you are the one that Jesus prays. So I just want to thank God for what you have done. Again, I want to ask the sister, what church was her daughter at? I believe she said that was Faith Church here in Louisiana. What's the name of the church?
Faith.
Okay, well, my church and Faith Church right now has come together. So we know.
Amen.
As one church now.
I know. I was there when Faith got flooded, you know.
Oh, and I was there and I didn't see you. Well, praise God, maybe one day.
Well, my daughter is Janice Jones.
Sure, I ask for her next time. Thank you so much, Sister Jones, for being here in Louisiana, and also having your daughter here in Louisiana to now she represents Louisiana right now.
Thank you
so much.
Baton Rouge to be exact.
That's correct, Baton Rouge. That is correct. So thank you so much, Sister Jones, for coming and being here in Louisiana. I wish I'd gotten a chance to see you. So God bless.
Amen. Okay.
So we're gonna go to the next caller. We're gonna go to 518-744. We opening your line. Amen. 518,
yes.
Your line is
Amen.
Open.
Amen. Thank you, Sister
Amen.
Roll up open my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and just enjoying listening to everyone tell their stories. It's exciting to hear all these things going on, and I just praise the Lord for another day. He has given us a beautiful day here in upstate New York. It's a little bit chilly. Didn't quite get to 50 today, but it's just been gorgeous out, And I've been outside working, and we did highway cleanup around our church. We did a number of different things. And yesterday, Sister, I was able to go visit some of our members that cannot make it to church anymore because of age and sickness, and have to go take communion to them. And we had communion yesterday. What a beautiful Sabbath that is when we have communion. And just thinking what the Lord did for us, for each one of us. And as I was considering communion, Sister, Jesus said that if there was only one person that had sinned, that he would have come and died for that one person. If I was the only one that had sinned in this whole world, he would have come and died just for me. And what a glorious thought that is. He is so good. He is much better to us than we deserve, but we're, you know, as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I just praising him for his goodness to me. So just wanted to ask a prayer for my wife and my family. My mom and dad are having a hard time right now. They're doing okay, but they're still, each time I see them, they seem to get a little more feeble and a little less able to do things that they need to do. And I'm just praying that the Lord will be merciful to them when it's their time to go, and take them quickly, because we don't want to see our loved ones linger on and suffer, and they will not go before God has done with them yet. So I'm just thankful that he is good to all of us. And please pray for me. I've been praying for my brothers and sisters. I think of Sister Katie, I think of Sister Carla, Sister Collins, and praying for Brother O'Neill, Brother Udy, Brother Bernard, Sister Pimito, Brother Eli, just so many over the years that we have come, that we have known, and Sister Leola, I've been praying for you and your family, and just want to lift up all the brothers and sisters on the prayer line, Brother John, Sister Brenda, always faithfully coming on and praising God. I just love it when Sister Brenda comes on. She is an inspiration to me. So just thank you, Sister, for opening my line, and just grateful for another day that God has blessed us with. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. And it's always good to hear my brother on the prayer line and just giving God thanks for all his sisters and brothers. So we appreciate that. We are so grateful to be family on this prayer line.
Amen.
And I pray that one day that we all realize that we are family. We are the family of God.
Amen.
Don't you know how important that is? Very important that we continue to
Amen.
Do this until Christ comes. So thank you so much, Brother Rick. And I just always tell Mama Power, she is Mama Power on this prayer line, because you know what? She has good guidance. She has good, counsel. She got good counsel. So by God's grace, I love the counsel that she guides her children. So thank you again, Brother Rick, for coming and sharing with the brothers and sisters, and let us know that you pray for us, you love us, and you always keeping us in your prayer. So thank you. So God bless. And sisters and brothers, I'm going to open the line for Sister Carla once again, because she had pressed one. So let us try again to open her line. So
amen.
423. Okay, amen. There she is.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening up my line. Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm sorry. I had pressed one, and then my son Nicholas called, and of course I had to answer, and he's doing well. He called me every weekend, today's the first day of the week, and, you know, whenever he can, and I just thank the Lord for answer prayer, and he'll be going down to Florida the end of May. He'll be moving to Florida, so I'll be there for about a week with him. And God is so good. He hears our prayer. He blesses our children. And, you know, he wants them to prosper and be in health, and he wants them to be a help to society. And you know, whatever they plan to do, that it will be according to God's will, that they will be a blessing to society. So praise the Lord. And, you know, he's going to be working only 20 years old. And I said, Lord, thank you. Because, you know, as when they were kids, we never knew what they was going to be or become or what career they're going to be. But I just thank the Lord for his blessing on Nicholas and Amanda. And I just want to share Isaiah chapter 56. It said, thus said the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that does this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hands from doing evil. And as we just had the Sabbath, we just thank the Lord that, you know, as we try to keep the Sabbath holy, we cannot do it within our own strength. We have to trust in God and allow him to do it in us, and for us not to pollute it or do any evil, keep our hands from doing evil, and also our thoughts, our thinking, our mouths sense evil, you know, whatever it is, you know, that is evil, we have to ask the Lord to help us from keeping it, doing it, saying it, and we know that God, he loves his children, and he would do anything for us which is according to his will, which will help us and help others, and while he's doing for us, that we'd be a blessing to others. And we teach them how to sow, how to, you know, meaning sow, how to grow, how to be self-sufficient, how not to depend on others, but depend on trusting God. So I just thank the Lord again for supplying all my needs and all my brothers and sisters' needs as we continue to trust in him with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind. And we see a lot is going on in the world, but God said to not be fearful because these things must come to pass. But let us pray for others, especially those in Dubai. They had a major flood out there, and I think they said about 10 inches of water fell. And we know also that men is been manipulating the weather, and when you do these things and you try to play God, things will happen that they're not expecting. So let us continue to pray for those. There are a lot of innocent people don't know what's going on, even here in the United States and throughout the world. So let us be faithful, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Sister Leola. God bless. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing that with us, because we see all these things, and men really don't understand. You know, I wanted to share something else with my brothers and sisters in Passover visit, and I want to read this. Our time is 43. Okay, I can read this in about a minute or two. I'm going to read this paragraph. It's coming from Desire of Ages, the Passover visit. And it says, many attend religious service and refreshed and comfort by the words of God. But through neglect of meditation, watchfulness, and prayer, they lose the blessing and find themselves more destitute than before they received it. Often they feel that God has dealt hardly with them. They do not see that the fault is their own. By separating themselves from Jesus, they have shut away the light of his presence. It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplating of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones, as we thus dwell upon his great sacrifice for us. Our confidence in him will be more constant. Our love will be quickened, and we shall be more deeply imbued
with his spirit. If we would be saved at last, we must learn the lesson of patience and humiliation at the foot of the cross. And as I was reading this, sisters and brothers, I could hit myself. Lord, it's me. So when I read this, I'm just reading it on the prayer line, but this pointing at me. So I just want to thank God for his word. Sisters and brothers, you can say it too. If it had not been for the word pointing us to Christ, where would we be? This is so, so good for us to read and to, as she said, contemplate on it. So I just want to thank the Lord once again, and that he helped me to focus, and that's my thing, because I have some fidgety, or you can say not so impatient. And what it says right here, you got to have patience. The word is teaching us patience. So I just want to thank God once again. So now, if I have time for a couple of more, okay, there's no one else. So what we're going to ask is that Sister Powell give us another song, and then we're going to go into prayer. Sister Carla, do you have time to give us a prayer?
I am not sure. I have
you
to
at
be
work?
I have to go in
okay.
at 8, so I might not.
Okay.
Sorry. Unless I
okay.
do it. Yeah.
That's okay.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? You can do the prayer. Mm-hmm. You can do a prayer now, and then Sister Paula
okay.
can give us the song. Okay?
You okay,
can do
praise
the prayer.
The Lord.
Go ahead.
Okay. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. Kind and loving Father, as I come before you, ask that you will forgive me of my sins and my trespasses as I uplift my brothers and sisters and present them before you. I ask that you will cleanse me from all unrighteousness, whatever ought that I have with someone or that they have with me, Lord. I ask that you will forgive. I ask that there will be unity. I ask that there will be love.
Yes.
I ask that there will be forgiveness of heart, because no one can go to heaven with an unforgiven heart, Lord. May we, as brothers and sisters, also forgive those that have trespassed against us and hurt us, oh Lord,
mm-hmm.
because, Lord, this is what it will take to get to heaven, a forgiven heart. Lord, you know the desire of your people. You know the struggles that they're dealing with day after day, night after night. You know what needs to happen in their life, in their home life, in their personal life, what changes needs to be done so that they can be drawn closer to you. You ask us to surrender all our sins, our iniquity, all our transgression. Lord, those sins yes. that easily beset us, Lord, we ask that you will help us to be an overcomer and help us to be selfless, Lord, giving and caring. Help us to be submissive to your will, kind and loving and patient, as Sister Leola is asking for patience. We all need patience, Lord. We all need to be long-suffering as you are. Lord, you know the prayer requests that have went forth. You know the unspoken prayer requests. I just thank you, Lord, that before they were uttered, before they were asked or thought of, Lord, you knew about it, and you already have the answer. Lord, we receive the answer, Lord, for Brother Rick's prayer request. I heard his prayer request for his family, his mother and father, as they're in their old age, oh Lord, that they will truly accept you as their personal Savior, oh Lord, so that they can come up on that bright resurrection day. And each and every one of our brothers and sisters, Sister Leola's son, and our families and friends that have already went, my mother, Lord, those that already went before us, Lord, I pray that they have accepted you and make that decision to serve you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the healing of those that are going through pain right now, those that are going through loss right now, those that are suffering mentally right now. In the name of Jesus, may you restore them. May you give them health and strength
so that they can give you praise and glory, and they can testify of your goodness to others and tell them what a loving Savior we have, Lord. Even the speaker at the hour, Brother Cherry, bless him abundantly more than he can think or ask. Bless his family, his daughter, his wife, Lord. Bless his community, those that he's doing study with. Bless him, Lord, and multiply his knowledge and wisdom so that he can teach with power, with force, Lord. And we ask a special blessing on his throat, O Father, on his as he speak, O Father, Lord, may you bless his vocal cord that they will be in tune, Lord. And I just thank you again for hearing and answering this to your will. Be with those that are spiritual dead, Lord. We need a wake-up call, Father, as the wise virgin. They all slumber and slept, but the five that was not foolish, they woke up, Father, and they were wise virgins because they know the sign, the time. They see the signs, and they were woke up with oil in their lamp. Lord, we need that oil, that Holy Spirit, in order to guide us and to teach us and to counsel with us into all things that you have sent the Holy Spirit to do, Lord. May the fruit be in our life to see that we have been with you and spending time with you. We thank you for this prayer line. We thank you for blessing us and keeping us together as family, knit together, praying for each other and praying with each other, Lord. Bless us, protect us, and guide us, and help us in all we say and do, that it will be according to your will. Be with the project in Jamaica. We thank you for Sister Powell and those that are in Jamaica doing the work. Lord, bless them abundantly too. Fill their cups, open the windows of heaven, that there may not be room enough to receive the blessing, that it will continue to overflow to the children and the family and the community there, even here in the United States. We thank you ever so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And Sister Carla, we thank you. And as you have prayed, we pray that you also will have Faith Traveling Mercy. I don't know if you're there already, but we pray that you have Faith Traveling Mercy.
Amen. I'm here. So, yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Oh, praise Thanks. God. Praise God. You and I know you will be listening if you can. Brother Cherry will be on at 7. So we're going to ask him the power to bring us a song. Amen. So thank you, Sister Carla. God bless and keep you for this evening. Give me just a second, Sister Powell. I will open your line. Sister Powell, your line is open. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Brother Rick. I opened Brother Rick's line. Let me open Sister Powell's. Sister Powell, your line is open. You can give us a song.
Yes, Sister Leola, you're hearing me?
Oh, yeah, you sound clearer now. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Thank you for opening my line, and thank you, Sister Carla, for praying for us.
Yes.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasure earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make a so my children, if the things this world give you, leave a hunger that won't pass away. My blessed, the Lord will come and save you if you need him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Praise the Lord, Lord, please fill our cup and allow us to be made whole this night, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Such a wonderful, a blessing song. Oh, thank you, Sister Power and Sister Jones, for bringing that beautiful hymn to us. Oh, we are grateful. So, brothers and sisters, Brother Cherry is here, always on time. Well, Brother Cherry, we will open your line, and you can go ahead, Brother Cherry. The line is open. Cherry, your line is open.
Good evening, everybody. How are you all? Praise God. I'm here, happy to be here for another session with you all. Praise God for that. And I just hope and pray that everybody's in good spirits, everybody's healthy, and that God has been good to you. I know he has, otherwise we wouldn't be here, right? Yes,
Amen.
And so we have to give him thanks. So I just came from my my oldest daughter decided to have a little family dinner this evening. She called me around 3:30. Said, "Daddy, can you come over between 4:30 and 5 o'clock? I'm making dinner for everybody that wants to come over." So she invited her two sisters and my granddaughter. But my granddaughter is at work. She works at the Goodwill. She gets off. She's off now. But she said, "I can't come. I have to go home and do homework because she graduates this year. She wants to make sure she graduates with high grades, wants to, do well," which I'm really happy that she has the conscientiousness. She's already enrolled for college at the University of Tokyo in Japan. She's a 4.2 student, and my daughter has done a wonderful job in raising her by herself. The father has never been in my granddaughter's life at all, her whole life. And so my daughter's had to do everything by herself, working three jobs and just working hard. And I was just thankful to God that I was able to be there with them. And the food, I must tell you, was delicious. And I said, and I wanted to eat a lot because I haven't eaten all day. And when my daughter called me, I was just getting ready to fix something to eat. And I said, okay. And my daughter, she has a catering business. Her food is delicious. I'm telling you this for a reason. And I said, okay. She called me. I said, I've gone so long without eating. I think I'll just wait until after I finish talking tonight. But I was so hungry, and I couldn't focus. I said, okay, I'll come, but I'll eat a very little amount because I don't want to get drunk eating. Because, when you get a lot of food, good food, you tend to overeat. And I'm still working on that appetite factor in my character. So I prayed about it, and I ate a very small amount. I didn't get seconds, and I didn't get a lot at the beginning, but she gave me food to bring back. And I was just thinking, every Sabbath, the priest was supposed to put fresh bread the showbread on the table in the sanctuary, in the holy place. And that signifies, Ellen White tells us, that every Sabbath, a pastor should be bringing fresh bread of life to the congregation and sharing it with the people. And especially that should also, and remember, they put salt on top of it and everything. She said it also means that they should be showing from the events that are taking place the fulfillment of prophecy and the nearness of Christ's return, and it should be fresh message every Sabbath. So as I was eating the food, I was thanking God for the food. I said, man, this is going to be like when we get to the kingdom, you know, when Jesus has us sit down at that table and we feast on that, whatever he's going to have. I can't wait to have some of those heavenly pears and passion fruit and watermelon and cantaloupe and honeydew and mangoes. And there's a lot of fruit that I've seen online that I've never tasted. They don't even sell it in America. And I can't wait to get to heaven, because there's going to be food there that we've never even seen. And I was just thanking God for that food. And I said, I better not overeat because I have to speak tonight. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you. It just makes me think of heaven, you know, the wonderful, delicious things that Jesus is going to prepare, have for us when we get there. And I imagine the angels are going to be cooking, and they've got to be good culinary artists. They have to be. So think about that. You're actually going to eat food in heaven, friends. We're going to eat food, good food, best food that you've never tasted before. You know, I love cherries. I love fruit. Even though my last name is Cherry, that has nothing to do with me liking the fruit, because when I was a kid, I couldn't stand them. I thought they were the nastiest thing in the world. But I love them now, and, you know, food's going to be bigger there than it is down here. The cherries are probably as big as a watermelon. They're going to be huge, you know, as like how delicious it's going to taste, you know. Have cherry steaks instead of just one little berry. You have a great big thing, but you can only eat a little bit of it at a time. I just think about things like that. Servant Lord says you should let our imagination go when we think about heaven, what it's going to be like. It's going to be fantastic. You know, we have so much wonderful, we have such a wonderful message to share with people that we should be excited at all times about the things that God has given us to share with others. And I hope and pray that we don't let that fire die. Hope and pray that we don't, if we are in the Laodicean condition, which the Bible says we are, that we heed the counsel of the true witness and come to him and buy that gold that is tried in the fire. We buy it without money, without price, that we get that white raiment, that we won't be naked anymore, that we get our eyes anointed with the eye salve so that we can truly see the things that God wants us to see and know and understand. Of course, seeing something includes understanding and responding to it. So as we understand our true spiritual condition, we have to respond to it by confession, by repentance, and then, of course, reformation. And then working for the Lord on fire, not in a haphazard, you know, come as it may, let it go, whatever, but no, staying on fire, diligent, vigilant, and, of course, most definitely aggressiveness. We have to be aggressive in our evangelism today, not by going up to people and shaking them, but rather pressing upon them in our tone of voice, in our manner of speaking, the urgency of the hour that we live in. May God help us to meet the call that he has for us. We're told that God's people in these last days will give a more pointed testimony than did John the Baptist. Now, you think about what John the Baptist said to people and how he said it, and with force and power and conviction. He didn't play games, friends. He did not play games. He said, now is the axe laid to the root of the tree, to the root. Cut it down, you know, because it's only good for throwing the fire to be burned, because it wasn't producing any fruit, like that fig tree that Jesus cursed. And this is what we have to do. We prepare the way of the Lord by getting rid of everything that is encumbering the path of the Lord. We have to make straight his path. And that is everything in our lives. And if we see anywhere else, we have to do something about it. May God help us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for another opportunity to share with your people tonight. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will abide with us, that he will be our teacher. Jesus promised that he would be, that he would lead and guide us into all truth, and that he would tell us all the things that he hears from you, that he would give it to us, so that we might be one in you, even as you are one with the Father, and you will be one in us. Lord, I pray that we will release our preconceived notions and opinions and ideas and allow your Holy Spirit to be our teacher tonight. Lord, speak to us, please. Speak to me. Speak to all of us. We all need to know what thus saith the Lord. At this point in Earth's history, the time we live in, it is so important. I pray, Lord, for those who are struggling financially. I pray for those who are looking for homes in the country. I pray for those who, Lord, are maybe ill right now or friends of their family members or even their neighbors, that, Lord, you would grant wisdom to know how to treat people with the true work of ministry, with the herbs and the natural treatments that you have given, that we practice the 8 laws of health, all of us, Lord. For without these things, we know that the medical system in the world is falling apart. It is crumbling, Lord, and we need to know how to treat things your way, the only way that you approve of. And so we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, a very familiar text with most people, and I hope that you all know this one. And it says this: wherefore, this is verse 12, by the way, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Friends, this is very important. We need to be established in the present truth. We're told in the book Early Writings, page 63, that there are many precious truths contained in the Word of God. There's a lot of truth in the Bible, but what God's people need today is the present truth. You see, there were truths that were relevant in the past, and they're good to remember and know them, but they're not the emphasis that we are supposed to be giving today. You understand what I'm saying? For example, there was a time when it was important for people to know the flood was coming. It was present truth in Noah's day. There's a flood coming. Get ready. The flood has come and gone for thousands of years. We do not preach the flood anymore because it's not present truth. There was a time when a man went to a city called Nineveh and said, if you don't repent, this place is going to be destroyed. And the people, the first it was the king who said, okay. He went in sackcloth and ashes, and he told his people to do likewise, his subjects. And because they heeded the message, which was present truth at that time, God did not destroy Nineveh. Sodom and Gomorrah was given a message of present truth, but they didn't listen. And you know what happened to them. And all down through time, we've had, in every age, God has had a special message for his people to heed to, and even the world as well. The present truth from our time, we are told in Early Writings, page 63, is the three angels' message. That is our present truth for today. And in that proclamation of the three angels' message, there are several particular points that we are to emphasize. There are things contained in the three angels' message that Ellen White says are to unite the flock of God's people. And she specifically points out what they are. Now, friends, I'm going to say this to you now, and you can go back and read this for yourself. I'm going to not paraphrase, but I'm going to summarize what she said. She says that such topics as a sanctuary in connection with the 2300-day prophecy, the state of the dead, the Sabbath, the beast in his image, and there's a couple of more. She said these things and other kindred things are unite the flock of God together for these last days. She says, and anything else other than that should not engross our attention. These points, she says, are the things that we should be studying. These are the things that will unite God's people together. Why? Because of the great controversy that is taking place. Friends, as you read your Bible, as you study the Word of God, you will notice that in Revelation chapter 12, it outlines what happened in heaven. It tells you what the results of that war were and where the antagonist, who is Satan, where he is today and what he is endeavoring to do. And then in chapter 13, it shows you the culmination of what he's trying to do, what it's going to ultimately lead to, which is the worship of the beast and its image and the enforcement of a day of worship or a worshiping experience, that if people don't worship the beast and his image or receive the mark or the name or the number of his name, then they will not be able to buy or sell. The issue of the last days, which we are entering upon right now, has to do with worship. And it has to do with, as it was in Daniel's day, with Nebuchadnezzar and his image, it has to do with false religion versus true religion. As Great Controversy says, the religion of man and his traditions and customs and the worship of the true and living God. That's the issue. And if we don't know the issues, you're not going to be prepared to stand. And we're told in Great Controversy, the chapter of Scriptures of Safeguard, none but those who have fortified their minds with the truth of the Scriptures will be able to stand through the last great conflict. You have to fortify your mind with the truth of the Scriptures. And she tells us that when God sends a message so important, it is represented by holy angels flying in the midst of heaven, he requires every person with reasoning faculties to understand what the mark of the beast is and how they are to avoid receiving it. That is the emphasis of our message for today. Anything other than that, we're told, should not occupy our minds. That's it. And friends, if you believe in the Bible, if you believe in the Spirit of prophecy, if you're going to be one of the remnant people of God, you have to listen to what God says, not what you think, not what I think. There are certain things that I would rather talk about, that I'd rather give a study on, than some of the things that God says, you talk about this, you tell them that. I said, Lord, but if I say that, people are going to get mad. They're not going to talk to me. Look, Lord, what happened when I spoke at this one church? Now they don't let me speak there anymore. He said, you speak it whether they like it or not. You have to tell them what I want them to hear. And you know what? I used to speak at three different churches here in Wisconsin. Every one of them has cut me off. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because I gave a talk once on imagery. And they had in this church different pictures on the wall in the sanctuary part and also downstairs in their fellowship hall. They had a basement where they would have the lunch and dinners after service. And they had these pictures all along the wall. It was like 8 or 9 pictures, maybe 10. I don't know how many. But they were, they were like where the pews are. There's a section of the wall, and there's a window, and there's a section of the wall, window, section of the wall, window, all around the room. And they had these pictures there. And these pictures were supposed to represent Jesus. One was him with a lamb, another one with him with little children. Another one, he was healing a blind man, and these different pictures. And they were upstairs and downstairs. And I was sitting in church one Sabbath, and I was waiting to speak. I only spoke there one Sabbath a month. And I looked at the pictures, and I noticed something very strange, brothers and sisters, that none of them were the same. In other words, the person that was supposed to represent Jesus, they did not look the same. They were different. Some of them had dark hair. Some had blonde hair. Some of them were kind of short and stocky. Other ones were skinny and frail looking. And I'm like, wait a minute. Did he change himself all the time? Change his appearance? What is going on? And downstairs, the same thing. So I was getting ready to speak, and I asked a question. I said, can somebody tell me who is that supposed to be in these pictures you have up here on the wall? And they probably said, that's Jesus. That's everybody that represents Jesus. I said, which one? And it was dead silence. I said, if you take a picture of me and you were to put it on the wall, or you take it home or whatever, you have it on your phone, or anybody take a picture of any of you or your family member, your grandchildren or your aunt, uncle, whoever, I said, and somebody tries to pawn off another picture and say, here's so-and-so, and you say, no, that's not him. That's somebody completely different, or that's not her. That is not them at all. You say, but it just represents them, so it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter, because I know he don't look like that. She doesn't look like that. And it has to be consistency. And if they start bringing you 4 or 5 different pictures, different faces, different muscular structure, et cetera, then you know there's some confusion going on. So I asked the church a simple question. How do you know what Jesus looks like? which one of these is really him? They couldn't do it. And I said, that's why the servant of the Lord told his people, told her to tell his people that you're not to have any pictures of God, the angels of Christ, anything of heaven at all in our books and pamphlets. We're not supposed to have any illustrations like that. She said, of the God or angels or heavenly things, you're not to have them because they're not true representations. They're man-made. This is the same thing that the pagans did when they made up their gods. They made them look like the way they wanted them to look because, number one, they weren't real, so they made them up. And Christians are doing the same thing today. They're making up what they think Jesus looks like. You haven't seen him. Haven't seen God the Father. What are these lying pictures that people are lining in their churches, lining up in their books and things of that nature, pamphlets and or periodicals? These are lies, friends. And you know what is going to happen? I'm going to tell you right now what's going to happen. When Satan comes personating Christ, notice I said personate. I did not say impersonate. That's something totally different. And whenever you speak on this subject, do not use the word impersonate. He is not coming to impersonate Jesus. He's coming to personate him. That's right there in great controversy. That means something totally different, okay? And you need to know the difference between those two words, because if you don't, you're going to be deceived. And they're going to be deceived because people have gotten so used to looking at these lying pictures in the Bible story books and Bibles where they illustrate it and other stuff that they have firmly implanted in their minds that this is what Jesus looks like. And if you have any other picture other than the blonde-haired, blue-eyed person or anything like that, and someone says, no, I don't think he looks like this, they say, no. And then they'll say, well, it really doesn't matter what it looks like, you know, as long as you worship, love him. But the moment you question the picture, they get upset. And so three churches didn't allow me to speak there. Well, they won't. I've been spoken there for years now. And because I pointed a truth out to them, they did not want to hear it. What does the Bible say in Hosea? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, the Lord says to his people. Not because it's not available to know. People don't want to know the truth. Friend, do you want to know the truth? Do you want to know the present truth for today? That is what's important. That's the only thing that we need to be focusing on. And that present truth includes the righteousness of Christ. If I ask many, many Adventists, how many of you can give a short explanation of righteousness by faith? They can't do it. I ask them, how many of you can right now give me a quick study on the 2300-day prophecy? And they can't do it. I ask, how many of you can give me a study on the 70-week prophecy? They can't do that. I said, what about the 1260 days, you know, the reign of the Antichrist, part of the papal system? Can you give me that one? They can't do that. When does it begin? When did it end? What started it? What ended it? What took place? What happened October 22nd, 1844? What's that all about? What is the real Millerite movement? What was it all about? I ask people questions like, when did the Advent movement accept the Sabbath? Who brought the Sabbath's truth to them? Because they didn't believe it. They fought against it at first. You know that, don't you? They did not accept the Sabbath at first. They said, oh, no, that's Jewish. We're not going to go with that one. It was a lady who was not even an Adventist. Well, she was an Adventist in terms of the Advent belief of the second coming of Jesus, but there were no such thing as Seventh-day Adventists yet. That came later on. And they don't know the history of our church, friends. Just like most Adventists today don't know what happened in 1954 and 55 with the evangelical conferences with Dr. Barnhouse and Walter Martin. They don't know. They don't know where the book Questions on Doctrines comes from. They don't understand why the inclusion of the Seventh-day Adventist Church was in the book Questions on, Kingdom of the Cults by Walter Martin, and how that led to the writing of the book Questions on Doctrine, and how in 1955 the church changed its theology and began to write books of a new order that literally stripped the church from its basic fundamental doctrines. Most people don't even know that. And that's the problem. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And today, friends, just recently, this past week, some very, very important, I hate to double use a word, but I have to, some things were discussed at the spring session that you need to be aware of. And I'm going to say this at the very beginning right now. If you don't figure out, if you don't find out what was said and what the position of the leadership of this church is today, you might as well just get out the church. Because it is going to, what they have done and what they are pushing right now, I'm going to tell you plain and simple, and I'm going to provide you with the information, the facts. It's going to take me more than one session to tell you this, to show it to you. But if you just, I can give you two videos that you can watch, because you're going to hear it from their mouths. They are setting the church up to worship the beast in his image. I'm telling you that right now. And I would say it in front of Wilson's face. I would say it in front of Gannon Gill's face and Mark Finley's face. I would tell them in their face, you are setting the people up to worship the beast in his image. You are complicit. You are working for the Pope and the devil for the things you just said. You know that's not right. You know that's not what we believe as a people. You are leading the people to hell. Friends, this that serious. I hate to sound so bold, but I have to. I cannot keep quiet. When I see what's happening, we cannot afford to be quiet. God forbid. We have to understand what the present truth is for today. Many people want to go on sidetracks and other things. Friends, we don't have time for that. Specifically told us what he wants us to do. Let me read this to you from the book Testimonies to Ministers, page 118. You're familiar with this, I'm sure. Listen carefully. All, that's inclusive, that's no exception. All, I'm going to read it straight through. All need wisdom carefully to search out the mystery of iniquity that figures so largely in the winding up of this earth's history. In the very time in which we live, the Lord has called his people and has given them a message to bear. Listen to this. God has given his people a message at this time in earth's history about something called the mystery of iniquity. What has he done? He has called them, who? His people. Reading on, he has called them to expose the wickedness of the man of sin who has made the Sunday law a distinctive power, who has thought to change times and laws, and to oppress the people of God who stand firmly to honor him by keeping the only true Sabbath, the Sabbath of creation, as holy unto the Lord. Testimonies to Ministers, page 118. Friends, this is the message that we've been called to give to the world. Expose the wickedness of the man of sin who's trying to put Sunday as the day of worship and who's also oppressing the people of God who stand firm to honor him, to keep the only true Sabbath. That's what it's all about. This is the warfare that we're engaging in. Anything else is a sidetrack. Are you following me? This is what we're told in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. It's the present truth. In early writings, page 63 tells us what that present truth comprises of. And it's the things I've just mentioned already. And you go back and read it for yourself. She tells you very plainly what they are. Okay? And then we read in Testimonies to Ministers, page 118, the same thing that will expounding on that, which is Revelation 13, by the way, exposing the beast and the image, etc. You hear a lot of talk about the beast. Most of the time, you hear a lot of talk about the Sunday law. You hear talks about the mark of the beast, but you don't hear much about his name. You hear a little bit about the number 666, and most of the people don't even have that right. They tell you all kinds of stuff, and they're way off the track. You hardly ever hear anything about the image. I ask you, when's the last time you heard somebody give a sermon about the image to the beast? How come they don't talk about that? When the Bible makes it very clear, if you worship the beast or his image, it says right there in Revelation 13, it's very clear. Right after the beast is the image issue. But nobody wants to talk about it. They want to talk about the Sunday law update, the Sunday law update, the Sunday law update. Friends, don't you realize that before the Sunday laws pass, the image of the beast is going to be the issue that decides the destiny of this church. Did you know that? Sister White said it's the image to the beast that determines the destiny of the Seventh-day Adventist church as a system. And that's why they don't talk about it, because you know what? Let me just give it to you in summary form. It has failed that test. It has failed that test. And like I said, I can give you two videos to watch, and you will hear the leaders actually trying to justify the unification of the Seventh-day Adventist organization with the image to the beast. They're doing it. They are admitting it. They even say, since 1957, they've been a part of it. But you didn't know that, because you're not supposed to know, because you have to stay dumb, ignorant, stupid, and asleep. See, that's the purpose. They want the membership to be ignorant of what's really going on. I have to be straightforward, friends, because this is a eternal life and death issue. You see, when these churches united together to influence the state, to enforce their decrees and their dogmas, and et cetera, and to sustain their institutions financially, as we see happening, they sold out to the devil. And the people, thinking that these men are leading them to the path, the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, that up that narrow way, in reality, they have them on that train that we read about in early writings, where Sister White says was going at lightning speed to perdition. It was on its way to hell. And she said everybody on that train was having a great big party. They were having a festival in this thing. And the conductor was Satan's right-hand man, and Satan was the engineer was his right-hand man, and Satan was the conductor. And the leading all, she said it seemed like the whole world was on this train. Remember that vision? If you haven't read it, go back and read it again. It's happening right now, my friends. Listen, when did the image to the beast get formed? Or when will it be formed? This is the problem that we have today, again, because people do not want to hear truth. They won't want to know. The image to the beast issue took place, or I should say the formation of the image to the beast, took place over 100 and some odd years ago. Did you know that? I think I mentioned it to one group of people. Some of you may have heard this already. Some of you probably haven't. But you can easily get this information. If you can't, you don't have the resources, all you have to do is ask me. I'll send you a photocopy of the page. It's taken straight out the Adventist Review and Sabbath Herald for January 1, 1889. The article is written by Sister E.G. White or Mrs. Ellen G. White or E.G. White. It's entitled The Present Crisis. It is, remember, January 1, 1889. Okay? 1889. That was a long time ago. About 140 some odd years, somewhere around in there. And this is what she says. You see, let me back up. What you always hear is people say, when America speaks like a dragon, when it does, that is a misconception. The Bible does not say when, it says it spake as. See, you have to read English, and you have to understand the English language. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. For some strange reason, English-speaking people just don't seem to be able to figure out the words they're looking at. They let somebody else reinterpret what they see with their own eyes, with their understanding. The Bible says that second beast that rises up out of the earth, it looked like a lamb, but spake as a dragon. Spake as is present tense for the time that it was seen. It's not future tense. It didn't say will speak or one day will speak or someday will speak. It said it spake as a dragon. That's present tense. As it was coming up, it was already speaking like the dragon. How does the dragon speak? Well, first of all, as I've said before, you have to define who the dragon is. How do we know who the dragon is? We go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and it tells you who it is. It's the devil called Satan. It's plain and simple. It's right there in the Bible. It tells you who he is. And then, how does he speak? Well, you go to the Bible once again. The answer is found in John 8, verse 44. Jesus says, you're your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And when he speaks a lie, he speaketh not his own, for he's the liar, and he's the father of lies. He's a murderer and all those things. So those negative things. So we know for a fact then that the second beast of Revelation, which it forms the image, because it does form the image eventually, if we read that in Great Controversy, it speaks like, it spake as a dragon. It lies. In other words, it lies. Has America lied from its inception? Yes, it has. Because in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, it says that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Did it grant that to everybody in this country? No, it did not. It said it would, but it didn't. You know, you say, well, yeah, that's right, there was slavery. It wasn't just the slaves that they did not allow liberty and that too. They refused to allow certain people into this country if they didn't conform to their concepts and practices. They had Sunday laws where they would put people in stocks, and they would throw eggs and rotten vegetables and fruit at them, and it was spank their soles of their feet with these whips and things, and, you know, humiliate people and torture them. It didn't allow freedom, and it didn't say that everybody was equal. If you read the Constitution, it says that African people are four-fifths human. They're not truly human beings. Therefore, they are not entitled to all the rights and privileges of a Caucasian person. So how in the world can you say it looked like a lamb? Yeah, it looked Christian, but it didn't act like one. It's always been a lie. Always been a lie. From the very inception to this very day, it's still lying like crazy, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. People don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear the truth of the matter. And so, and there are many so-called, and I say so-called because they are not being true to the title that they take, Present Truth Ministries, that are running around telling people when America speaks like a dragon, when it already does. And I think I don't know. Well, I do know this, that in the just before the end of the First or Second World War, I can't remember which one it was, I think it was Second. No, First. The government found out how Adventists were calling America the Second Beast, and, you know, and what it was going to do. And they went to the leadership and said, what's this stuff you guys saying about America being the Second Beast of Revelation? What's up with that? I'm just giving you in colloquialism, and, you know, they didn't say it that way, but basically is what it was. What is this all about? Later on, you know, that's going to happen. From what we heard, you guys are saying that's the case now. No. That's a misinterpretation. It's not now. That's later on. It's not going to happen right now. They said, oh, okay. So after that, that's when we started changing that's when the church leadership started changing the theology and came out with a book called Questions on Doctrines. And that's when Martin and Barnhouse approached the conference and then said, we want to talk to you about your theology, because if you guys aren't teaching mainstream theology, we're going to label you as a cult, just like there's Jehovah's Witnesses and all these other offshoot crazy people who call themselves Christians and are not. And so what happened? The group of men that represented the General Conference, represented the church, got together with these two Babylonians and watered down the truth. And they said, oh, okay, so there is no atonement, there is no judgment, there is none of that stuff, right? No. There's no sanctuary in heaven. No two compartments. No, that was misinterpretation. We were wrong. And yeah, the Pope is not Antichrist. No, we don't believe that anymore. That's why Neil Wilson, Ted Wilson's father, was able to say under oath in the Supreme Court that speaking against the papacy and labeling the Pope as the Antichrist and all that, he said that has been consigned to the historical trash heap as far as the church is concerned. And this is why today you have the General Secretary for the Department of Public Relations and Religious Liberty, Canundio, going over to the Vatican, shaking hands with the Jesuit Pope, the murderous group of men who are the assassins of Catholicism. He shakes hands with the head of that. And, you know, when you shake hands with somebody, you know that's an indication of friendship and brotherhood. And he got up and talked about, and this is one of the videos I want you to watch, where he says there's nothing wrong with being ecumenical, that God has called us to do that, and that is a bald-faced lie. It is a bald-faced lie. God has not called us to be ecumenical. He He has never called his people to be ecumenical. You know what that means? That means you give up your distinctness that God has given to you to preach the message he's asked you to give, and you compromise with your enemies for the sake of quote-unquote unity. This is what is happening today. Friends, I cannot express this with enough emphasis without yelling and screaming and stomping and jumping up and down and throwing things, that the church is in danger. The souls of 20-some-odd million people are in danger because of what these men are doing right now. And this has been set up for decades. This is not something that just happened today. As Ganoon said, we've been involved in this since 1957. And, you know, if you get somebody who was an Adventist back then, and you get them and sit down and talk to them and say, what was the church like when you joined? They'll say, oh, nothing like what it is today. That's why when you new people come to church today and you start talking to them about certain things that you knew from when you were young, they'll say, what are you talking about? That's not Adventism. Where do you come from? You say, this is what we believe. Oh, no, we don't believe that. That's not in the 28 fundamental beliefs. Well, that's because that's not of God. I remember coming home from Loma Linda one weekend. It was actually Easter weekend. I decided to go home and visit my family. I grew up in a family of seven kids, and I really missed being around my siblings and my parents. So I went there, and then that Sabbath, I went to the church that I was baptized at. And I remember walking into the church in the foyer, and one of the ladies that I had known since I joined the church when I was 14, she came out crying. She was just weeping, weeping. And I was like, Sister McRae, are you all right? She said, oh, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. I said, what's the matter? She said, I can't believe what they're doing in there. I said, what happened? She said, they're in there having an Easter celebration. She said, Seventh-day Adventists do not, we do not worship, we do not recognize Easter. She said, that is a pagan holiday. That's the worship of the devil. She said, we have no business talking about this thing and honoring it. And they were giving ladies orchids or some kind of flower. I think it was an orchid they call them. I don't remember the flower that well. I think it was orchid. Is that a little thing they put on your wrist? I can't remember the name. I think I always say orchid. I'm not really sure what kind of flower it is. But they were giving these little flowers to the ladies, you know. And they were talking about Easter celebration. And they were going to have a sunrise service on Sunday. And she came out crying. She said, this is wrong. This is wrong. And I sat there like, I didn't know that. Now, here I am. I'm going to Loma Linda to study religion because I wanted to be I was going to go to school to be a doctor, but I wanted to take religion because I wanted to be a missionary, a medical missionary. I didn't know that a true medical missionary learns to use God's eight laws of health, not drugs and all that stuff. But that's what the popular concept is. And I said, are you sure? She said, yes. Don't you know that? I said, I've never heard that before. And that's what got me started to start studying, friends. Start investigating. I said, wait a minute. Now, this lady's been, she's been in the church for probably 50, 60 years. She was an older lady. And I was in my teens. I was in my late teens. And so I started studying, and sure enough, she was right. And I'm like, well, why are they doing this? Okay? Now, friends, This is what Ellen White has to say about the image to the beast. I want you to listen very carefully. Those of you who have never heard this before, and I'm going to urge upon you. And by the way, those that have asked me for the material, by God's grace, I will be mailing it out to you tomorrow. Another lady just wrote to me this last night and asked for my video tapes to send or discs to send to someone, and so I'll be sending them as well. But I want you to hear this. Listen very carefully about the beast and his image. From friends, before I go any further, remember this. The issue of the image comes before the Sunday law. For the church, that's you and I, members of the Adventist Church, our test is not Sunday. It's the image to the beast. She said, that is a great test to the people of God. They got your eyes diverted. They be looking at the Sunday law. That's for the world. That has nothing to do with it. You already know about the Sabbath Sunday issue. You already know that. You already made up your mind, I'm going to keep Sabbath. At least I hope you are keeping Sabbath. But for our test, it's the image to the beast. You understand that. And if you don't think that's true, all you need to go do is read in Volume 5 Testimonies, the chapter, The Seal of God. But also go to Volume 3 Testimonies, The Laodicean Church, and read both those chapters, and you'll get a clear understanding. Listen to what she says here. Quote, "The crisis is now upon us. The battle is to be waged between the Christianity of the Bible and the Christianity of human tradition. Is there not a criminal neglect in our present sleepy condition? There must be a decided advance movement among us. We must show to the world that we recognize in the events that are now taking place." This is 1889. "We must show to the world that we recognize by the events now taking place in connection with the national reform movement, the fulfillment of prophecy. That which we have for the last 30 or 40 years proclaimed would come is now here. And the trumpet of every watchman upon the walls of Zion should raise the alarm." Friends, did you catch that? She said, something that we have been preaching for the last 30 or 40 years, she said, it's here. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. It is here. She didn't say it's coming. It's there. She said it's the present crisis. It's now upon us. It's here. It's not in the future. This is 1889. But you will never hear anybody, well, you might hear one or two, talk about this. But the vast majority of present truth preachers, they won't make this quote. They won't read it. I've shared it with others, and they don't say nothing about it. I don't know why. But listen to this. What is the national reform movement? What is she talking about, right? She goes on to say this. "When the laws of earthly rulers are brought into opposition to the laws of the supreme ruler of the universe, then those who are God's loyal subjects will be true to him." Listen carefully. "The national reform movement that the world and the church have linked hands to bring about will manifest the same oppression, haughtiness, arrogance, and intolerance which have prevailed in past ages." I'm sorry, I'm kind of going slow because the print is very tiny and my glasses are not that strong. "The powers of human councils then assume the prerogatives of deity, crushing under their despotic will liberty of conscience and the right of individual responsibility, and imprisonment, exile, and death follow for all who oppose their dictates. Many will plead that there is no prospect that popery will ever be revived. If it shall regain its lost ascendancy, it will be by Protestantism's giving it the right hand of fellowship." Did you catch that? Do you understand what I just read, friends? Did you get the impact of what I just read? Did it hit you? Maybe you have to think about it for a while. You need to get this page, and I'll be more than happy to send it to you. It's actually, the article is not really two pages, but if you have the bound volumes of the Advent Review and Herald, you know, because they did put them in a bound form, if you have those, you can look it up. It's on page 275 and 276 in the bound volume, and I think it's volume number one. But just look up the date, January 1, 1889, okay? Page 2. It's also can also be found in the commentary, volume 7, page 989 to 975. Friends, she says that the image of the beast was being formed back in 1889. See, the crisis is already here. That which we have preached for the last 30 or 40 years, if you go from 1889, go back 30 years, it's 1859. You go back 40 years, is 1839. What was happening then? That was the Millerite movement. Remember, they were telling people about the coming of the image of the beast back then. See, that which we've been telling the people about for the last 30 or 40 years, it's here. And we have to show people this national reform movement, that's the beginning of it. It started and it grew. And today, you know what it's called? In America, it's called the National Council of Churches. On the world spectrum, it's called the World Council of Churches, or WCC for World Council of Churches. And for the United States of America, local thing is called the National Council of Churches, local meaning within our country boundary. But it breaks down to even more than that or smaller scale in the local communities where you live, where your pastor serves in the church capacity. He's required to join what is called the local ministerial association. If you don't believe me, go ask your pastor, does he participate in the local ministerial association? 9 times out of 10, they're going to tell you yes. And what that is the lowest branch version of the image to the beast. All the pastors get together, they discuss what they're going to talk about, you know, what emphasis is going to be in their churches. They talk about what type of sermons they're going to give. That's why a person can go to a Baptist church and hear a sermon on Sunday, and he can go to the Adventist church the next Saturday or Sabbath and hear the same message. Or an Adventist can go to church on Sabbath, hear a message, and then go to Episcopalian church on Sunday the next day and hear basically the same thing, because they agree to do it that way, because they hold it all in common. And they say, we got to preach a common gospel. This is the ecumenical movement. This is what our church leaders today are telling everybody we should be a part of. It is a compromise of the truth. We don't talk about the distinctive things that make us separate, different in terms of understanding God's word. See, that separation doesn't mean we're better than anybody or something like that. It means that God has given us a specific message to give, and we must give that message. Earth's teeming multitude's destiny will be determined by what we tell people, because we have been entrusted with the truth as the Jews were back in their day, and they failed to give it. And so God chose others to do it. He even had his son bring up 12 men that go out and preach the truth. And in this day and age, the system has failed to do it, and so now he's calling up individuals to do it. And Sister White says that God will take matters into his own hands, and we can see him doing that today. Friends, you'll be surprised how many people are preaching the Three Angels message who aren't even Seventh-day Adventists per se. They're not, but they're preaching it. They said, I've read the Bible. I can tell you one young man, I was speaking in Seattle, Washington years ago in a big auditorium downtown Seattle, Washington, and this young man came up, long blonde hair. He was dirty. He had a backpack and it was all dirty. It was filthy. And his clothes were tattered. He had raggedy shoes on. His beard looked scraggly. His hair was uncombed. And he kind of smelled a little bit. He wasn't the freshest person in the world. And this was on Sabbath. And he was standing there, and people were asking me questions. You know, I spoke to like over 1,500 people. And you know, I was shocked. I didn't think that many people was going to even be there. And so people came up after I got through speaking, and it was time to go eat, but they want to ask me questions. And there was about 200 or 300 people standing around. Can I ask you a question? I'm like, oh, yeah, you. I said, I'll give you 5 minutes, and I got to go, friends. I'm hungry. And so I was getting ready to go, and he said, can I ask you just one question? I said, okay, one question. And you're the last person. And he said, well, I just want to read this to you. So he reaches in his backpack, and he pulls out a book, and he starts reading from it. And I'm listening, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's Ellen White. And he says, and it says right here in his book, Great Controversy, blah, 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 blah. And he said, oh, and another one. And then he pulls it, and he says, and this is a book, it's called Early Writings, and it says this right here, and blah, 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 and Desire of Ages, it says this right here. I said, wait. I said, what are you trying to give me a sermon? He goes, no. He said, you know, we got to know the present truth, man. We got to know what God says and everything like that. I said, well, how long have you been a Seventh-day Adventist? He goes, what? I said, how long have you been a Seventh-day Adventist? He said, what's that? I said, what do you mean, what is that? You got our book? He goes, I don't know. He said, I've never heard of that. I said, well, how did you get these books? He said, I'm homeless, and I live on the streets. And one day I saw this book on the ground. It's called The Great Controversy. I picked it up, and I read it. And so I said, I got to get some more books. Whoever wrote these books are pretty good. He says, well, I tracked down where I can get them. So I went to this bookstore, and I said, can you show me the books that this person wrote? And he thought it was a man. They said, no, it's a lady. He goes, what? He said, it's a lady. Her name is Ellen White. He said, well, what books does she have? And they showed him. He said, well, I don't have that much money. What can I get? So they gave him a bunch of paperbacks. He got them cheap, and he read all of them in less than a month. All those books he read in less than a month. He had them underlined, marked, quotations, notations and everything. And I said, how long have you been reading them? He said, oh, probably about 5 weeks. I said, are you kidding me? He said, no, about 5 weeks. Friend, this young man knew more than Adventists I know have been Adventists for all their life. And he was quoting stuff off the top of his head. He wasn't, he would say, and sometimes the page that says this, and he would quote it, and he would open the page and say, see, right there. And I was like, man, I said, how did you read that? He said, you know what? I was a drug addict. He said, that's why I live on the streets. He said, and I just found that book one day, and I read it, and it changed my life. Today, this young man, he lives in the Philippines. He's a medical missionary. His name is James Kirtley, and he's opening a medical missionary training school. And my best friend, John Skeet, who also does medical missionary work and has a couple of missionary projects in Africa in different countries, he's going over there to help him to train people to become medical missionaries. I'm telling you, friends, there are people out in the world who have got a hold of God's message, and they're running with it. They're not walking. They are running with it. And we have people that have been members for decades that can't even give you a good study on the Sabbath and how to prove that the seventh day is still the Sabbath. Can't do it. If they get questioned, they would fold up like paper. I saw an Adventist pastor not too long ago. There's a man on Facebook. I'm not Facebook. What is that? TikTok or Instagram. Well, he's on Facebook too. Yeah, he is on Facebook. His name is Gino Jennings. And he, you know, he's pretty well versed in the Bible. I got to give it to him. But he does have some mixed up views. He does not believe the Sabbath is still binding and things like that. And he was in Jamaica. He has churches all over the world. And he had a Jamaican pastor, a Seventh-day Adventist pastor in Jamaica, went to challenge him on the Sabbath. And you can watch this on YouTube, but I'm going to tell you right now, you better have some Kleenex when you watch it, because he roasts that Adventist pastor. He makes him look like a fool because that pastor did not know his Bible. And Gino Jennings just ripped him up and down, backwards, forwards, upside out, upside down, inside out, made him look like a babbling idiot. I hate to say it that way, but that's what he did. He tore him to pieces in front of all those people. And his telecasts are international. They're watched by people all over the world. And this minister, he was an embarrassment to the truth. He did not know his Bible. The man just ripped him apart, and the people were laughing at him. Just, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah, Pastor Jennings, get him, get him, get him. It's like taking a Rottweiler on a Chihuahua. You know how big a Rottweiler is, or a Cane Corso, those big muscular dogs, on a little old tiny Chihuahua. He chewed that man up like he was nothing. We need to know what thus saith the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I cannot emphasize enough to you as I come to close this evening on this, because I have a ton of things I wanted to tell you, but I had to mention this tonight. If you want to watch those videos, just send me a quick text message and say video links, and I will send you the links to watch these videos. Now, I want to tell you something. Do not be concerned about who's speaking. That is irrelevant. What I mean by that is who the person is that's reporting what's going on. Because some people don't want to hear certain people talk. They say, I don't listen to him. I don't listen to that person. That is not the issue here. The issue is, what are they presenting? Is it the truth or not? Okay? That is what you need to focus on. I sent a message to a sister one time, and she said, I don't listen to him because he's misogynist, and he puts women down and blah, blah, blah. And I said, sister, I don't know what you're talking about. And I really, that's not what I'm sending you this for. It's what he's presenting, the facts that he has brought out and shows people. That is what you need to look at. As far as his personality is concerned, I'm not into that. If he was doing something blatant sin, that's one thing. But if he just feels that only men should be preaching, he's right. That's the Bible, as a minister, as a pastor, he's right. Show me in the Bible where it says otherwise. I said, but, you're turning your mind and life and eyes away from the truth just because you don't like something about him. And that's going to cause you to be in a lot of trouble. And I sent her one thing about how Loma Linda had a special graduation last spring for the LGBTQ. They held a special graduation ceremony just for the LGBTQ students on the Adventist campus. and they held it in the church chapel for the LGBT, for openly avowed homosexual, lesbians, and all the rest, or LGBTQ students, because of their unique and special contributions to the church, and to the world, and to the community. And she said, I don't want to see stuff like that. There's too many other things to be concerned about than that. I said, sister, do you realize that this is an invasion of spiritualism into the church? I said, it shows that you don't understand what is really going on. And she has an argumentative spirit. So I said, I'm not going to send her anything else because she's trying to tell me what to send, what not to send. You don't tell me what to do. If God tells me to send it to you, I'll send it to you. But if you tell me you don't want to read it, then I just won't send it anymore. I'll leave her alone. I'll just pray for her, and I'll leave it alone. My friends, I want to say to you, please do not shut your eyes and ears away from hearing the truth, no matter who it comes from. If it's the truth, it's the truth, period, whether you like it or not. Now, if a person is openly sinning and things like that, then yeah, you know, I wouldn't listen to them. I wouldn't listen to their theology. But if they're showing you something that somebody's doing that you know is wrong, then listen to what they have to say. Listen to what they're showing you and say, you know what? I'm glad this brother's sharing this because this is important. We don't have any time to waste, is my message for tonight. Our time is running out, friends. Everything is about to wrap up a lot sooner than you and I think. Every time I turn on the news, did you hear what happened recently? Israel fired at Iran. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what that means? When they fired on them, because Iran, they said, if you do anything against us, we're going to wipe you off the face of the earth. Iran has nuclear weapons, in case you didn't know that. And they're so mad right now. They are just a hair's breadth from pushing that red button. And they push that button, there's no recall. Those bombs will drop and it will obliterate Israel. Everybody there will be wiped out. Are you following me? And that's going to cause a worldwide destruction, because then everybody else will start retaliating back and forth, and the bombs will fall everywhere. Of course, we know that's not going to happen. That's not how the world's going to end. But it's going to cause some kind of conflict. You watch and see. But somebody's going to step in and be the great savior, and everybody's going to bow down and say, oh, the great savior, oh, how wonderful, and bow down and worship. This is what this is leading to. It's a deception. This is a game that's being played. And unfortunately, the pieces on the board is humanity. We're the cannon fodder, as it were. But God has warned us about all these things. Now is the time to get right with the Lord. Now is the time, more than ever before, to know what it is that God has required of us and to do what he has required of us before it's too late. May God help you. May God help us. May God be with us. May we surrender our lives to him each and every day to get ready for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to share this night. Lord, there are so many things that I want to say, but it would take time to say each and every one and to explain. But I pray that what I shared, what you've told me to share tonight, will be sufficient to wake at least someone up to realize, look, we don't have time to play games. We don't have time to talk about things that are not relevant, to spend money, spend time, spend effort on things that are not relevant to the message that you have given us to bear. Lord, we have to be about our Father's business. When Jesus was at the wedding, his mother asked him to do certain favors. That there was no more wine. Can you do something? Jesus said, woman, what do I have to do with you? You know, I must be about my Father's business. I can't be doing what you want me to do. I didn't come here to do what you want me to do. I came to do my Father's business. And we see that even today, that the women's movement is nothing more than an attempt, kind of like Mary, to take control of God's work. That many people don't realize that the women's movement is a movement of witchcraft. They have no idea. But it's so plain. All they have to do is a little study. And they just understand this. It's not that women are evil and wicked, but there are wicked, evil women like Jezebel who want to control things and do things to worship the God that they serve. Just like the ladies that I just read about today, saying that Mary should be worshipped just as much as Jesus because she carried Jesus. She's God's mother, which is a lie. She's not God's mother. She's Jesus' mother. God has a father, and that's Jesus. His father was God. Mary was just a vessel to be used to bring forth the child. And then that's all. She's not to be venerated. She's not to be worshipped. She's not to be honored by anybody else. And Jesus made that very clear when he called her a woman. He didn't even say mom. He said woman. He let her know that you are not special. You have no jurisdiction over me whatsoever. I'm grown, and I'm doing my father's will. And we need to understand this, Lord, not as a put down, because women have a very important role in the raising of children, preparing them to do your will and your work. It's a role that's far more important than even that of a preacher. But many don't take it seriously today. So I pray, Lord, if there's any young mothers on the line, they will take seriously the awesome and great responsibility that they have to teach their children the way of the Lord and to prepare them for his service, for your service, Lord, that they will win many souls to Jesus. Please be with us tonight, I pray. Bless everybody. And may we have a good night, solid, restful sleep, and wake up tomorrow refreshed and ready to do whatever you have us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. And brothers and sisters, I'm sure if anybody have a question, we can raise your hand and just ask a question. And we ask him that you please be brief if you have a question for Brother Cherry. If there's any questions, I don't see no hands up. Any questions? Well, Brother Cherry, I just want to thank you for bringing up a certain thing you brought up. Oh, by Brother, what's the man name you brought up that speak the word, speak truth? But yet he don't accept the Sabbath. I have listened to him. I love the way he bring it about sin. If there is sin, he bring it out and he tell people you're doing this. So thank God for that.
Yeah.
But Brother Perry is going to let everybody go. Gino Jennings, yeah. We're going to have to, although you always, we always bring you on so you can bring this message, but we're going to let our brothers and sisters go, and we just want to thank you, brothers and sisters, and we bring in Brother Cherry back again another time. But Brother Cherry, Brother Akeem will be back next week. I'm going to have to ask the power of Sister Parler because I won't be here next week. So we thank you for coming and bringing us this message this week. So may God bless each and every one of you, and you all take care, and we will be hearing more from Brother Cherry because this message also was on time. So thank you once again. Thank you, brothers and sisters, and I'm just going to close out with a song. Let me just close out. Brother Cherry closed out with a prayer, so we're going to let that be, and let's just close out with a song, brothers and sisters. Amen. Thank you once again,
Amen.
Brother Cherry.
Yeah, praise God.